Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Warning, this podcast contains all the dirty words that Bill Nye wanted to say to Ken Ham on Tuesday night, but couldn't.
This week's episode of The Scathing Atheist is brought to you by Holy Whole Foods, overpriced, scripture-approved entire groceries. Tired of secular supermarkets and their blatant disregard for ancient Middle Eastern dietary restrictions? Tired of their once-bitten synthetic produce, their partially finished bottles of backwash, and their scooped-out Reese's cups? For a large fee, we'll change all that and pay a guy to wave a magic wand near our warehouse. Holy Whole Foods, our kosher aisle is so big it's disputed by Palestine. And now, The Scathing Atheist.
I mean, Satan's done a lot for him. I mean, Satan has done a lot for Nicolas Cage. The least he could do is make a movie for Satan.
G'day, secular bloke here from Australia. The reason you're hearing my voice on this, arguably the best podcast on the entire interwebs, is because Heath, Noah, and Lucinda have gotten so desperate and are scraping the bottom of the barrel to find somebody to come on here and tell you that we did, in fact, evolve from filthy monkey-type creatures. Who, if we're honest, probably wanked a lot in public and flung shit at each other.
It's Thursday.
It's February 6th.
And it's the first week of White Guilt Month. Black jokes are still okay, but Asian jokes can be a slippery slope.
Starting early. I'm No Illusions.
I'm Heath Enright, and from New Jersey's Pimp, New York, New York.
And Florida's Ho Podunk, Georgia, this is The Scathing Atheist.
In this week's episode, we learn how to use bankruptcy to get free kid rapes.
Cecil and Tom will drop by for a little cognitive dissonance.
And we'll end free speech, free sight, and free hearing to make Helen Keller feel better.
But first, the diatribe. To hang up our spurs, guys and gals. Turns out the war is over. Apparently we won. Congrats. But now we're done being atheist activists and we can all just shut the fuck up about it. The Christians get it. They're stupid. Prayer doesn't work and we all just die. They've decided to continue being religious anyway, but they get it, so we don't have to talk about it anymore. They're still going to try to teach it in their schools and claim legal exemptions based on it and influence foreign policy with it and shove it down our throats and everything, but they get it, there is no God. And if you haven't figured out what I'm sarcastically agreeing with yet, let me quickly summarize for you every goddamn op-ed published about atheism by a major news outlet in the last 3 months. It goes like this. Hi, I'm an atheist, and like all atheists, I've always expressed my atheism by chasing religious people around after church and challenging them to explain the logistics of Noah's Ark. I spent my days searching out religious people to berate about their stupid beliefs until one day I saw a sad person, and that person had a Bible. And I realized that religion is A-okay, and who am I to take that away from people? Amen. I mean, whatever we atheists say instead of amen. I'll link to a few examples in the show notes, but it's hardly necessary. This is the de facto media narrative about atheism moving into 2014. Atheists have had their say, but now all that stuff is out there so we can shut the fuck up about it. Religious people need their religion, and if you try to take that away from them, you're being a heartless prick. The most egregious example I've seen so far was, no surprise, on The Guardian. In one of their bi-daily articles about what a racist asshole Richard Dawkins is last December, holier-than-thou photographer Chris Arnaud went so far as to claim that, and I quote, atheism is an intellectual luxury for the wealthy. So quick, guys, down the Grand Patron and hide the rhodium-plated Triceratops skulls, they're on to us.
He backs this up by claiming it several more times. His only citation of any kind is his anecdotal observation that a lot of heroin addicts are religious. Well, hey, Chris, guess what else gives comfort to heroin addicts? Smack. I mean, while we're using things that comfort junkies as our metric for societal benefit and everything, this whole narrative is based on what can only be a purposeful misunderstanding of what motivates the atheist movement. I mean, sure, we mercilessly mock the incestual implications of the Adam and Eve story and the sadistic perversity of the biblical God, but that's not what motivates us. That's not what got us into this in the first place. We didn't get into this because we thought religion was silly. It was because we thought religion was harmful. The fact that it's silly just makes it easier to mock. In order to play the poor people need religion card, you have to first concede that religion is a beneficial force, which is, of course, the exact opposite of what we believe. The author makes no attempt to justify the unspoken assumption that religion plays some positive roles in the lives of these addicts. He just points out that a lot of them pray and have Bibles. Well, a lot of them have track marks and HIV, too, so I'm not sure what point he thought he was making. But clearly, it's some derivation of smart, affluent people like us can be atheists, but these lesser people, they need their psychologically crippling, laughably antiquated paradigms. But, you know, even if I set all that shit aside, and I grant Chris's wildly indefensible assertion that religion provides a comfort to destitute people that a secular worldview couldn't, his point would still be meaningless. What does that have to do with truth? Who's to say that geocentrism wouldn't provide the same comfort? After all, if you thought that the sun revolved around you, that'd make you feel way more important, wouldn't it? And wouldn't we all feel a little happier every day if we believed that Kermit the Frog was a real dude that we might someday happen upon at the deli? Wouldn't we all feel better? Wouldn't it give our lives more meaning? But what the fuck does that have to do with truth? So I'll make a deal with you, Chris. I'll try to keep my slapping the Bible out of the hands of heroin addicts to a minimum, but I'm not throwing in the towel just yet. I didn't sign the armistice. So anybody who wants to wave their white flags is free to do so, but I'm going to keep my spurs on, thank you very much.
They're talking about your Jesus.
We interrupt this broadcast and bring you a special news bulletin.
Joining me for headlines tonight is a man who hates more people by 9 a.m. than most people hate all day, Heath Enright. Heath, are you ready to unload some pre-breakfast avarice?
Okay, this is word for word what the guy in front of me at the bagel store said the other day to the cashier. I burned this into my brain as I walked home. Quote, "It's been really cold, but I heard it's getting warmer today. Seems like everything happens in 20-year cycles, doesn't it? I guess that contradicts Al Gore's global warming theory like in books. I'm not a scientist, but I read the internet. Gotta sell those newspapers. Anything's possible." End quote. This is a full-grown adult human being, word for word.
I read the internet. Did you follow him long enough to see if he, you know, got the bagel into the correct orifice? I'm dying to know now.
Well, his 47th chromosome kept dangling in the way, but for better or worse, he put the bagel in the same orifice the bullshit was coming out of earlier. So, you know, get an interesting little two-way valve going there. Bagel in, bullshit out, you know. In our lead story tonight, from the mean jokes hurt my vagina through my legal briefs file, Fordham University law professor and Willy Wonka stunt double Thane Rosenbaum is suggesting the First Amendment needs to stop protecting the mean kid that picked on him in school. Apparently, he would always fuck up the rubber and glue thing, so he decided it's probably best to constitutionally ban all speaking if you don't have something nice to say. Religious whiners have to promise not to abuse the proposed law.
And for the record, like, he's not being vague here or anything. This dude is actually calling for the criminalization of words that hurt people's feelings.
Yep, yep. So Rosencrantz argues, quote, "In placing limits on speech, we privilege physical over emotional harm. Indeed, we have an entire legal system and an attitude towards speech that takes its cue from a nursery rhyme. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but names can never hurt me," end quote. Yes, a fucking course we do. A fucking course we have a legal system that says physical harm is worse than emotional harm. What the fuck's he talking about?
Well, not according to Rosenstein. He claims that emotional harm is even worse than physical harm. That's what he actually says. So I propose an experiment. We test his hypothesis, me and him in a room. He gets a thesaurus. I get a ball peen hammer. Whoever cries uncle first loses. That's science, bitches.
And it's good observational science, you know?
Not historical.
Maybe you could murder Ken Ham with a hammer, too. Nice. I mean, I don't like the fact that bigots and racists are allowed to talk either. But I don't always sell the sarcasm when I talk, so I'd be censored all the time, too. I mean, if we're drawing a line, No being attacked with sticks and stones by constitutionally protected violent packs of neo-Nazis. It seems like a reasonable place for that line. But okay. You still have to let them say kike, or else I can't say kike, ironically, like this.
And you know what? I left a comment on this article saying that I was offended by the article, and then he didn't take it down. So clearly this is all like bullshit lip service. He doesn't mean it.
Exactly. Guildenstern seems to be ignoring the fact that absolutely everything is offensive to some oversensitive asshole. Right. Science is offensive to a good chunk of this country. I won't mention any names, but there's a Muslim religion out there that was incited to violent riots and murder plots when a newspaper released some cartoon drawings of their dude.
Right.
I mean, this is America. Our founding fathers intended for us to make YouTube videos of Muhammad getting hit in the crotch with a shovel and sharing a cup with two girls. I mean, can a brother get a mental image fatwa, please? I'm fucking begging. Come on.
Whose prophet do I gotta fuck to get a fatwa around here?
And in Go Ahead and Set Up the Clock Right Away news, Pope Frango Unchained reserved himself at least 30 seconds of coverage on our show by blessing the parrot of an Italian porn star and former world champion of male strippers with the stage name Guy Bloge.
This pope is such a bless whore, man. He's like, he's out there in St. Peter's Square. I'll bless this bitch. I'll bless that bitch. I'll bless anything that moves.
I hate guys. I love birds. So that all happened. Might as well get straight to it. I guess we're looking for papal porn titles with bird involvement or something like that. It's almost like he's challenging us personally to work all three concepts into the segment, you know? I say we fucking do it. This might be the first ever list of triple entendre religious porn titles with birds.
Right here, exclusively
on The Scathing Atheist. Let's do it. Christian pornithology titles, go.
Okay. Christian bird porn. Damn, this is really hard. How about...
Yeah, it's fucking weird.
How about you go first?
All right. Pass. Mass Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, like, someone would fuck the parrot at some point, or maybe the parrot would... You get the idea.
I got a parrot one. Rectums in the Rectory, the back door to Paradise. It's got parrot in it.
Yeah, technically does have parrot in there. I like it. How about Foul Balls with the Taint Louis Cardinals? Tagline, sliding headfirst into third base.
Okay, how about Pope Hoosier Fratty and his papal balls and whip out your tits? Because, you know, tits are a type of bird.
What about, what would Jesus goo? Spray it forward.
Oh, I got a good one. Canary caged clergy, albatrossing the salad.
Wow. All right. That'd be pretty painful having a bird toss. Anyway, how about in honor of the champs? Holy Seahawks, tight end, vultures, touchdown there.
And in honor, of course, of the eighth runner-up for the last NFC wildcard spot this year, how about just Jesus Falcon Christ?
Excellent. About priests bask in Robin the Cradle with ice cream?
The cock ring of the kingfisherman.
Blowing through Bible college. Loads of sermon are easy to swallow. Swallow. You catch the swallow at the end.
Yes, yeah. Woody Goodpecker, Confessionals of a Sapsucker.
Excellent. All right. Shit, this is hard. The penis mighter than the sword bird. Fuck! I can't. I'm out.
We've wrung it dry. And in Muggin' Queers for Jesus news tonight, Colorado Springs fundamentalist Reverend Michael Abramovich proved this week that it's getting harder and harder to break into the anti-gay pastor caught with gay prostitute news cycle fame this week by adding a new twist. Instead of just fucking them and condemning them to hell, Abramovich apparently kidnapped and robbed his man whores while impersonating a police officer because felonies apparently are like Pokemon.
And STDs, if you're fucking a lot of gay prostitutes, I would imagine. You're going to catch all of them.
According to reports, the rascally reverend found his victims on a special website reserved for felonious perverts in search of vulnerable targets called Craigslist.
Well, I mean, come on, to be fair, the way some of these gay whores were dressed in their profile pic, they're almost asking for it. Seriously, though, if you actually wanted to sell that service, like, legally, how would you advertise I'll be the terrorist's wife, and you be the FBI agent that abducts me and tortures me at Gitmo. Like, how do you have waivers or something? Tough
that's a question
to
I've been asking myself for years.
And in Decepticon news tonight, the Southern Baptist Convention is hosting an event in Nashville aimed at teaching pastors how to trick people into abstaining from things like watching porn, being gay, and being straight from age 13 through 19.
Well, I guess nothing inspires abstinence like a Southern Baptist sex convention. Shame the Pope blessed that parrot fucker, though, or we could have put a few seconds on the clock for some great, Baptist abstinence porn.
Some, like, bacterial mitosis, asexual reproduction videos from science class. Well, the church is claiming it might reword its current stance on sex, which reads something like, build up blue balls for about a decade and then lose your virginity on your wedding night over the course of one pump at which you blow a 10-year-old load down her fallopian tubes like a shotgun spawning octuplets. Repeat this 5-second experience once every 9 months until your wife's vagina explodes. So that's their current wording. They're thinking right. about switching it up at the convention.
Well, you know, you don't want to be too hasty. And finally tonight in Helena Handbasket News, the Roman Catholic Diocese of Helena, Montana will become the latest diocese to declare bankruptcy in connection with forcing their cocks into children. The diocese is accused of covering up the molestation of at least 362 children in a state with the population density of the Sahara Desert. So I guess kudos for finding that many kids of raping age, I guess.
That many unwilling kids of raping age. By the way, what is the age of consent in Montana? Is it the same as Vatican City, or do they just change
so.
It?
A spokesman for the Vatican said, quote, don't worry about it, guys. We've got plenty of money, and we want to make sure that those poor victimized children that were subject to our sinister and willful neglect get full monetary restitution for the sadistic crimes we knowingly subjected them to, so we'll step in and cover the bill, end quote, adding, quote, no, I'm fucking with you. We don't give a shit about those raped kids. That's old news.
It would be offensive to put a dollar value on rape victimhood, so they're putting no dollars on it. If you're willing to wait in the long rape victim line, which must operate like a busy DMV at this point, the Vatican can get you some shekels and a railroad bond. But
pretty much.
No
pretty
dollars.
Much. The raped kids are getting some cash in the settlement. As it turns out, there is a dollar value on one's innocence and prepubescent anal virginity, and that value is a little under $40,000 before taxes. As part of the negotiated settlement, the church will pay out $2.5 million of the total $15 million they were ordered to pay to the 362 known victims of just this diocese. The remaining $12.5 million will be paid by insurers, which means that whatever they choose to call it, Catholic churches have butt-raping children insurance.
Gotta cover your ass. When Geico wrote that policy, the premium must have been tiny. Like, what should I charge these guys? There's no way the Catholic Church is going to systematically cover up thousands of clergy rapes. Is there? Why would anyone even ask for this type of insurance? Do we offer this? Why do we even offer this? This is crazy.
Well, you know, according to Thane Jewey name from the lead story, at least these priests had the decency to rape their assholes instead of calling them assholes.
This show is so fucking highbrow that we have anti-Semitic Hamlet references built in with our rape jokes. Shakespeare, bitches.
And on that liberal application of gravitas, we'll close the headline segment. Heath, thanks as always for joining me.
Jumanji.
And when we return, Cecil from Cognitive Dissonance will be here to see which of us can say fuck more times in 10 minutes. Joining us tonight is intrepid podcaster and reigning champion of the Fantasy Football League of Sinister Secularists, Cecil from Cognitive Dissonance. Cecil, welcome to the Scathing Atheist.
There's a lot of S's in that. Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
It was more alliterative than I thought it would be. Now, I invited you on to talk about the extremely funny and well-produced podcast you guys do, but before we get to that, I suppose I should congratulate you. As many of our listeners know, we both participated in a secular podcaster's fantasy football league this season and met in the championship game, where you exploited the unfair advantage of having both the number one fantasy quarterback in the league and the number one fantasy running back in the league to narrowly defeat me.
Yeah, I like the narrowly. I like the emphasis on narrowly there. Yeah, it was close. It was super close throughout the whole year.
Well, I thank you for not rubbing it in. Now, you and your partner, Tom, do an excellent podcast called Cognitive Dissonance, where you tackle atheist and skeptical issues with the same vulgar irreverence that Heath and I strive for here. In the past 3 years, you've interviewed some of the leading lights in the skeptical movement, including David Silverman, Matt Dillahunty, Seth Andrews, Mike Hall, Sean Faircloth, DJ Grothy, George Robb, and Michael Marshall. And no, that's not Eminem, by the way. So my first question to you is, how the fuck does a person win a fantasy championship when they're starting Logan Paulson at tight end?
Well, you know, Logan Paulson was really at the end just to fill a roster spot. You know, I mean, like basically like your whole team, right? Right? Am I right? Am I?
Hilarious.
Oh, so no, but we've had a few good guests on.
That you have. Okay, so I have an obvious question for you. Is it harder or easier to do your show every week with the guilty knowledge that you crush the hopes and dreams of everyone else on our fantasy league? Have you lost any sleep over that, Cecil?
I might be sleeping better. I think my natural melatonin levels go up the more dreams I crush.
That's what I thought. Now, did it ever occur to you that for you to win, that meant everyone else in the world had to not win that particular fantasy league? Does that eat away at you like a carnivorous bacteria? Because I think it should.
Dude, it's like just a game. We're not really even doing anything in the thing. We're just
picking
other stuff to do stuff. Can we just talk about our podcast? Maybe?
Sure. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just, anyway, so you and Tom have been a team for quite some time. You've recorded over 130 episodes of Cognitive Dissonance. And before that, you guys did a movie review podcast together as well, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We did it for a couple of years. Everyone's a critic. It's terrible. So if the listeners want to find it, they can find it on our website, dissonancepod.com.
Now, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are thinking this, so I might as well say it. Do you think that your friendship will suffer if Tom ever learns what a heartless cheater you are when it comes to fantasy football?
What? Cheater? Are you fucking high?
I am high, but that has nothing to do with it.
How the fuck do you cheat at fantasy football anyway? What, do you got a fucking crack in the back end of Yahoo Sports?
It's a secret you'll no doubt take to your grave.
Do you have any actual fucking podcast questions for me, or did you just invite me over to see you could get all butthurt about losing to me?
Okay, I've got a podcast-related question for you. Cheaty McCheaterson, did you cheat at that too? Do you just download your own show over and over again to move up the iTunes ranks? Cause you're a cheater. That's what cheaters do.
Did you maybe make multiple accounts to give us our only negative reviews on iTunes? Fuck this, I'm done.
You know what? I figured you'd plead the fifth at some point, so I brought along a character witness as well. So in our best podcast equivalent to some dude running up from backstage and slapping and pulling your hair after you fail a lie detector test about fatherhood, Tom, do we have you on the line?
Yep.
All right, so Tom, welcome to the show. You are by far my favorite co-host of the Cognitive Dissonance podcast. And as I understand it, you're the one that never cheats at fantasy football.
Thank you. You have excellent taste in Cognitive Dissonance hosts, I must say.
Thank you. So Tom, how much do you know about fantasy football?
About as much as I know about lunar geography.
Okay, so let me give you a brief description.
No,
it's
a game
where
you didn't.
Friends get together, they predict which players they think will perform the best each week, and it's really fun until somebody like Cecil comes through and sucks all the joy out of it like a gridiron succubus. So my question to you is, in your experience, is Cecil a big fat cheater?
Well, he's big and fat.
Fuck you, dude. I've seen you fucking eat a whole goddamn cow in one sitting. You've unhinged your jaw like a python just to stuff more food in it.
So Cecil, when you are cheating at fantasy football, do you find it easier if you dehumanize your opponents, or do you just have like a sociopathic disjunction with human empathy?
Jesus fucking Christ. We get it, dude. You're a sore loser and a whiner.
I am. Not when I lose fair, I'm not.
Okay. Lose fair? Are you fucking high, dude? You put Percy Harvin on your roster 6 fucking weeks before he was healthy. 6 weeks! What the fuck? You started Dwayne Bowe, for God's sakes. The dude hasn't had a good game all goddamn season. You know, you invited me on the show to talk about your podcast. If I'd have known you were just going to berate me for kicking your ass at fantasy football, I wouldn't even fucking bother.
Kicking my ass? You won by less than 4 points.
Should I just be getting a burger or something?
Yeah, it's amazing what fucking 4 points, 4 well-placed points can do, right?
Cheat loaf sandwich over here.
Cheat loaf sandwich. Fuck you.
Trick or cheat.
Trick or cheat. Okay, listen.
I'll listen on my Cheats by Dr. Dre headphones. How's that?
You. That's it. I'm done.
You know what? I'm done, too.
Fine.
Come on, guys. We're all friends here.
I'm not friends with Cheater Frampton over there.
Come on, Noah. We all set aside some time this evening. Set up the gear. It's not too late. We can salvage this interview.
Well, I'm not talking to Cheatwood Mac until he apologizes for cheating in the championship game.
What a fucking whiner. Tell George Weinbrenner that I'm waiting for a fucking apology from him.
Tom, can you tell Don Cheadle over there that I don't apologize to cheaters?
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Cecil, Noah doesn't apologize to...
Tom, I fucking heard what Busta Wines had to say.
You see how he gets?
How I get? You're acting like a fucking four-year-old. And what's more, you do this all the time. You got like this every fucking match you lost this year.
Tom, can you tell Cecil did not?
Cecil, Noah says did not.
Really? Really? That's okay. Well, I brought along a character witness as well. Heath, are you there?
Yo.
So Heath, you were in the fantasy football league with Noah and I. I just gotta ask, is he a fucking sore loser and a whiner?
Well, he once put his head through my rear windshield over a game of washers. Game wasn't even over yet.
And in your estimation, is he a childish dick a lot of the time?
Not only is he a childish dick, but according to Lucinda, he has a childish dick as well. like a roll of quarters.
Hey!
Like an oversized clit at best.
My wife says there's nothing wrong with that.
Is he like this with the podcast? He is like this, isn't he?
We only recorded one segment with our dicks out, and I didn't... Oh, you mean being a draconian bastard? Yeah, he is, definitely, about the podcast in general.
Look, I don't know why you do it. You know, you don't have to put up with an abusive co-host.
Oh, it's tough, but I don't want to do all the editing. You know, it's got to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, the editing's really not all that bad, it turns out.
Tom, can you tell Heath that I'm no longer talking to him either?
Heath, Noah's not talking to you.
Here's the thing. It recording with him, if it's always like this, that's not great. Well, if that,
it
you know.
Is.
Oh, Tom, could you tell Heath to tell Cecil that it is not?
Oh, you know, Heath, here's the thing. We might have room for you over a cognitive dissonance if you want to get out of this sort of, you know, abusive relationship.
What?
Really? I'm told I don't have to take it. For real?
Yeah. You're funnier than Tom anyway. So.
Hey, wait, what?
No, I mean, it's true. Have you heard this guy? I mean, he's pretty funny. He's a funny guy.
But that... Noah, can you tell Cecil that... Fuck you!
No, because I'm not talking to him. But what I can do is I could text Heath and ask him to tell him. Fuck you.
You know, just think about how much easier life would be.
You know what? You know what? Fuck both of you guys. Tom and I are going to make our own show. Come on, Tom.
This is The Cognitive Atheist. Every episode, we blast anyone who gets in our way. We put 30 seconds on the clock. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and naughty Bible stories to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes for good dick jokes. It's scathing, it's political, and there is no Cecil or Heath.
Damn right.
This is episode number...
Number one, Tom. This is episode one.
Right. Episode one.
Before we declare victory tonight, I wanted to let everybody know about a very awesome book they might want to pick up. I just got a copy of it myself, and I can't recommend it enough. For those of you who have ignored our numerous warnings that reading the Bible sucks and insist on reading along with the Holy Babel segment anyway, I'd like to recommend Steve Wells' excellent Skeptic's Annotated Bible, which gives you the full King James along with the kind of commentary and annotations our audience craves in their Bible. We'll have to get Steve on the show soon to talk about this massive undertaking, but between now and then, you can pick up a copy on Amazon or check it out online at skepticsannotatedbible.com. You'll find a link on the show notes. That's all the blasphemy we have for you tonight, but if you want more, there's more. I had the honor of being the first guest panelist on the new atheist podcast, Atheistically Speaking, from the people that brought you Thomas and the Bible, and you'll be able to hear that, I believe, next Thursday, but I'll post a link on Facebook and Twitter and the blog as soon as they're available, so keep up with us there. Oh, and I've been told a number of times that I should spell it out, so if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's noillusions, that's at @NOAH_LUGEONS. And speaking of Twitter, I wanted to thank Twitter atheist extraordinaire Secular Bloke for providing this week's Farnsworth quote, one of my favorite online Twitterologists. Definitely worth a follow. I also, of course, need to thank Tom and Cecil for being such good sports. When I asked them to come on and do a skit with us, I kind of doubt they were expecting me to send over a 10-page script, so thanks a ton for that. And, of course, if you haven't checked out their show, you got to do that. If you like our show, which, let's face it, you do, you're probably going to like theirs as well. It's the same blasphemously vulgar lack of moral moral compass that you get here, but it's longer. So you'll find a link to their website on the show notes for this episode as well. But of course, we reserve our heartiest thanks for this week's most distinguished disbelievers, Vin, Deb, Donovan, Michael, Alden, Alan, the very worth checking out, robives.com, Derek, Don, Crystal, Jeffrey, Krithika, Duff Among Us, Steven, Sean the Female, Sean the Male, Ted, Dylan, Lawrence, Mike, Andrew, Dan, Will, the Scathing Atheist's Official, Washington State Secular Wedding Specialist, Puget Sound Celebrant Services, and Richard. These 26 exceptional people, websites, and secular wedding specialists have earned eternally archived praise and gratitude this week by giving us money. Only the most praiseworthy and salient people have what it takes to give us money, but if you think you share Vin, Deb, Donovan, Michael, Alden, Alan, the very worth checking out, robives.com, Derek, Don, Crystal, Jeffrey, Krithika, Duff Among Us, Steven, Sean the Female, Sean the Male, Ted, Dylan, Lawrence, Mike, Andrew, Dan, Will, the Scathing Atheist, Official, Washington State Secular Wedding Specialist, Puget Sound Celebrant Services, and Richard's praiseworthy salience, you'll find the donate button on the right side of the homepage at scathingatheist.com. And if you like to help but you lack the financial resources or the salient praiseworthiness to make a monetary donation, you can also help us a ton by taking a minute to leave us a glowing review on iTunes, sharing the show on whatever social media sites you frequent, and telling a friend about the show. If you have questions, comments, or death threats, you'll find all the contact info on the contact page at scathingatheist.com. All the music used in this episode, except the cognitive dissonance theme, was written and performed by yours truly, and yes, I did have my permission, and I'm pretty sure the guy who wrote the cognitive dissonance theme isn't going to sue me either.
All right, let's do that again and record it.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.